You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. This is where they share their latest creations, products, services, experiences, as well as business strategies and insights, all that can help you build your business, leading to your business success. Today, we are speaking with Jeff Kravitz, business and entertainment and IP attorney, a partner at Fox Rothschild, which is a national law firm with more than 650 attorneys practicing in 21 offices coast to coast. Jeff, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me aboard. I appreciate it.
You are more than welcome, and we are certainly pleased to have you. So, for starters, what prompted you to become an entertainment attorney in Hollywood, and do you practice outside of Los Angeles?
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't get started with that in mind. I was with another national firm, and we used to hold weekly meetings. And the boss man came in and said one day that Lloyd's of London, which was a firm client, was starting to write entertainment errors and omissions insurance. Then he looked out over the crowd and says, does anybody know anything about the entertainment business? And I had roomed with a cinema major at UCLA as an undergraduate, and I flipped my hand up faster than anybody, and I ended up with the assignment. So I called my wife because it was her birthday weekend, and we had a one-year-old at home, and I said, honey, you're not going to see me all this weekend, even though it's your birthday. I'm going to be at UCLA at the law library, and I'm going to stuff as much copyright into my head as I possibly can. So that's how it got started. I was downtown at the time, and I migrated over to the west side of Los Angeles in Century City because that's where the entertainment business tends to be. But I didn't start out, but I sure owe a debt to my undergraduate roommate who got me started on my path.
Quite interesting. Now, who are some of the business and entertainment clients that you've represented over the years?
Well, I've been fortunate. I've talked with any number of people throughout the years, and I have represented, amongst others, Smokey Robinson, Tim Robbins, Tia Carrera, Frankie Valli, and the estate of Biggie Small, which was, in some respects, the most fun because his wife was from the islands. His mom was from the islands, and she sure had a way of speaking that was direct and to the point.
I'm sure she was, if you're mentioning it right here and now. So tell us, what are the reasons for which an entertainer would hire someone like you?
Well, there are several. And first of all, you don't have to be an A-list entertainer in order to come here and work with me. We work with anything from the biggest names in Hollywood down to people who are getting started on YouTube. And I think that people who are entrepreneurs should take a look at their lawyer the way you do a doctor. You go to a doctor for several reasons. Number one is because something's hurting you and because you need some help. That's a fancy way of saying that the people who come to me with litigation are either angry because they want to sue somebody, or they're scared because they've been sued and they need somebody right away. So think of that as the preventative function. The second one is you want the doctor to make you feel better in the overall sense. And think of that as building your career. So people come to me because they feel as if they've been stuck in a rut. Maybe they've recorded some albums. Maybe they've had some dates. Maybe they've had a number of things go their way. But they think they're ready to take the next step up, and they want some counseling. So that's kind of the second reason that you go. And the third is preventative. And by this, I mean that somebody came to me to a lawsuit maybe a couple of years ago, and then they'll come back to me because they'll say, you know what, I didn't enjoy going through that litigative process, and I want to make sure that we don't have to do that again. So how can you help me, Jeff? So it's kind of a combination of the three things. And again, if you think of the doctor model, it makes all the sense in the world.
It certainly does, and that's a great analogy. Today we are joined by Jeff Kravitz, business and entertainment and IP attorney, a partner at Fox Rothschild, which is a national law firm with more than 650 attorneys practicing in 21 offices coast to coast here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show always on Twitter at ePodcast Network. Jeff, why would attorneys make up a part of an A-lister's entourage?
Well, the reason is that you're taking a look at where you can do the most good, and that's where you can do the most good. People who come to me who are A-listers are looking for that help in terms of what they need, and I, in turn, are looking to be able to help them. So it's a mutual relationship.
And what should entertainers or studios look for in a good entertainment attorney?
Several things. First of all, lawyers are famous for talking a lot and maybe not listening as much as they should. You want somebody who, when you go to see him or her, is going to do both. They're going to listen in the first instance as to what you have to say. They should not be over-talking you. If they are, you ought to ask for your check the way you would ask for your check at the end of a meal. There's no obligation if you don't feel comfortable with the situation. And the second thing, quite frankly, is that you're looking for somebody who's able to give you tough love. And I can give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. It's very easy if you go to somebody when you walk through the door, and if they're telling you everything you want to hear and nothing that you don't want to hear, you're probably not in the right place. I had somebody who came to me with a trademark in the fashion field. And what I do when I take a look at something like that, because they had had somebody call them and say, you got to stop using that trademark, is I generally send it around the office, the two marks that you're talking about, and I ask people, do these seem to be the same mark? Because if they do, I'm going to advise that prospective client that perhaps they'd be better off choosing a different mark. So I did that in this particular case, and it came back to a person saying those two marks seem awfully the same. So I went back to the client, and I said, look, I don't want to tell you this, but unless you've invested thousands of dollars in this mark, it's time to make a change, because otherwise you're going to end up in litigation, and that's not where you want to be putting your resources. When you're an entrepreneur, you want to build your business. You don't want to be defending your business. Well, his wife was extraordinarily beautiful, and what honey said, honey got. So he went to another lawyer because another lawyer gave him different advice. Years later, I'm taking a look at the sheets where you see jury verdict results, and he got liable for $850,000 in expenses by the other side and roughly the same amount of money in attorney's fees. So again, you got to be a good listener as well. You got to listen to what the attorney is telling you. If the attorney's telling you you got a great case and not expressing any reservations, then maybe you should have a couple of reservations about the person that you're going to.
Very, very good and sound advice without a question. As you know, intellectual property has become very popular recently. What are your thoughts on social media as it relates to intellectual property?
Well, it's so interesting because in a lot of ways, we're trying to look at a square hole and a round peg. And a lot of the rules that work in the other media aren't necessarily going to work in social media. So we're kind of feeling our way around this sort of thing. Actually, what's going on right now is Congress is taking a full look at amending the Copyright Act, because Copyright Act goes back to 1976. And even when it was passed, the head of the USPTO said that it was a good mid-century act, but really not ripe for the 70s. And therefore, not necessarily going to be ripe for the new millennium as well. But we are looking at things through fresh lenses because of social media. And a lot of the rules that apply, you got to keep an eye on it because you don't want to get sued. I can give you a couple of examples. There's a folklore out there that if you sample somebody else's record to the tune of four notes or less, you're not going to get sued. You're going to be okay. That's simply not the truth. That's number one. Number two, if you quote somebody else's tweet and they in fact have defamed somebody, you may have a defense to getting sued, but you have not an ironclad defense to getting sued. So you've got to be as careful in social media as you did in the traditional media. And you've got to realize that everything that you're putting out there can be quoted back against you for good and for ill. So it makes sense to not lead with your heart, but to lead with your head as well as with your heart.
Certainly appreciate your insight in regards to intellectual property. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, takeaways, or a final tip for the listeners?
It is. There are a couple of things that you need to consider. First of all, intellectual property is the new manufacturing in the United States. We have so much money and so many efforts being devoted to intellectual property in the United States that it is always rife for good and new ideas. That's number one. Number two, if you got a question, give me a call. I talk to people all the time. Sometimes we form attorney-client relationships. Sometimes I simply tell them to have a good day. Sometimes I give them a little bit of advice over the phone. But it's like anything else. You want to go to that doctor when you have a cold and not when you have pneumonia. Third thing is, don't forget that it's a lot of fun. I happen to know the guy who got started with both Atari and Chuck E. Cheese. And I asked him why it was that he had moved from Silicon Valley to Southern California. And he said, it's because we know how to have fun down here. And don't forget that when you're working on your new business, it should be both something that makes you money, but something that gives you joy as well. So I wish everybody a lot of luck out there.
Well, Jeff, we certainly appreciate your time spent today. Tell our listeners where they can get more information about Fox Rothschild Online.
Sure. Easy enough. Best way to do it is through my email, which is J for Jeff, S for Stephen, Kravitz like Lenny, K-R-A, V like Victor, I-T-Z like Zebra, at Fox like the animal, Rothschild, Rothschild.com. And I'd love to talk with folks.
Once again, Jeff, we thank you for your time. Thanks for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio, and certainly look forward to another conversation right here on Enterprise Radio.
My pleasure. I appreciate it.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Jeff Kravitz, business and entertainment and IP attorney, a partner at Fox Rothschild, which is a national law firm with more than 650 attorneys practicing in 21 offices coast to coast. And the website for more information is foxrothschild.com/Jeffrey-S-Kravitz. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.